This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. It's been a week of fiery debates, including last night's face-off between Congressman John Tierney and Republican challenger Richard Tesei.
This doesn't have anything to do with your wife.
Then
it's
why did you leave her out of it? Why do you have her picture on all the mailings that you do?
You know
why do you have her picture
Congressman,
on TV?
You're the person who signed
Richard,
the financial disclosure report.
Also,
Scott Brown has never been there for us. He's trying to use our suffering to help himself. He ought to be ashamed.
Senator Scott Brown apologizes to the Elizabeth Warren campaign for suggesting she employed paid actors in political ads.
Plus, the Massachusetts chapters of the ACLU demand that the Boston Police Department stop monitoring and interrogating activists from peaceful political groups.
All the activities detailed in the reports themselves are purely protected free speech.
We'll explore all that and more with our Week in Review panel in just a moment. But first, the release of secret files from the Boy Scouts of America identifies former scout leaders accused of sexual molestation of children.
Communities across America are still coming to terms with the release of more than 1,200 names and detailed allegations of sexual abuse that were routinely overlooked or suppressed.
The so-called ineligible volunteer files span from 1965 to 1985 and affected scout leaders from towns all across the country, including 45 people named in Massachusetts. The information was revealed as part of a multi-million dollar lawsuit in Oregon against the Boy Scouts.
Joining us now to talk about this is sexual abuse attorney Paul Monas from the law firm O'Donnell, Clark & Crew in Portland, Oregon. He was one of the lawyers who won the release of these files.
Paul Monas, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
Let me begin by asking that you're calling for a congressional audit of the Boy Scouts of America. Why?
Well, the Boy Scouts are a congressional corporation, and every year the Boy Scouts have to report to Congress. The Boy Scouts have now said that they've changed their policies with regard to sexual abuse, and we want to ensure solely for the purpose of protecting present and future generations of boys that these policies are being effectively implemented.
Do you see any evidence in the files that have been released that there could be proof that their policies are ineffective today?
Well, let's go back. These files deal with the period that we released from 1965 to 1985. The Boy Scouts also have maintained files between 1985 and 2011. However, those have not been released. So we know it's still going on in scouting. However, following our 2010 victory in Portland, Oregon, where we won $19.9 million on behalf of a man who was abused in the early 1980s, the Boy Scouts made certain changes. They required training in sexual abuse of scouting as it relates to scouting. They required that the Boy Scout application inform scouts and their families that they could be sexually abused in scouting. But we want to see if it's really working, and that's the reason for the call in Congress. Mm.
Now, the files that have been released, as you say, which date in a 20-year period ending
yes.
in the mid-80s, can you tell some of the stories that are revealed by them?
In general, some of the lessons or stories that we've learned from the files, number one is that oftentimes scout leaders were quietly pushed out of scouting in favor of protecting the reputation of scouting. One specific file jumps out at me where some family members were going to complain about the sexual abuse of their boys, and the scout leader at that time wrote up the chain of command, quote, he thought it was not necessary to really do anything about this because, quote, if it don't stink, don't stir it. Don't call the police. We also saw a situation that showed that they really did not have a interest in understanding the sexual abuse of certain minors. So, for instance, a local scout leader wrote up the chain of command that a Cub Scout master, this is dealing with boys 7 and 8, as some of your listeners may know, was sleeping in the nude and showing Boy Scouts pornography. The letter that came back from Boy Scout headquarters was, well, while showing pornography and sleeping in the nude with Cub Scouts shows poor judgment, there's no reason to eject him from the Boy Scouts.
Huh. Are there other cases pending right now against the Boy Scouts of America, and how many more do you anticipate seeing?
There are cases all over the United States, unfortunately. You know, many people in these files will be locked out of justice, and that's true in Massachusetts as well. Massachusetts, as many states in the United States, the vast majority of them has a very unforgiving statute of limitations when it comes to victims of sexual abuse, and even where you can sue, it's cold comfort suing an individual as opposed to the institution that allowed that individual to have contact with the young boy. And so that's the problem in Massachusetts, is many people will not be able to get their day in court. Nobody is going to be held responsible. Nobody is going to be held accountable. And that's too bad.
Paul Moniz is a sexual abuse attorney and co-counsel in the Oregon case that won the release of these documents from the Boy Scouts of America. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
We should note that the Boy Scouts of America declined to speak with us today, but they have issued a written statement which reads in part, "Where those involved in scouting failed to protect or worse inflicted harm on children, we extend our deepest apologies to victims and their families." The complete written statement is available at our website, radioboston.org.